This is TH-102, week 3, class number 3. And we're on now page 7 of your syllabus. So let's talk a little bit here about the diversities of tongues and clarify some of this confusion. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it does mention this term diversities of tongues. Well, the word diversities, it just basically means different, differing, different kinds, you know, something of that nature. And this word, diversities, just the very essence of its definition indicates that there is more than one manifestation of tongues. Now, this is interesting because I'd never heard this before, you know, years ago when I was, you know, I was born again, wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I never understood about the different diversities of tongues, even though I knew there were different diversities. I mean, I could see them take place in front of my eyes, you know, tongues for interpretation, people praying in tongues and so forth. But I didn't understand it this clearly. The differing manifestations implies that there are different or differing rules governing the manifestations. Think, okay, let me give you a very simple illustration. Think of a baseball game. A left-handed pitcher pitches differently than a right-handed pitcher. But they're both pitchers, and they're both trying to strike out the batter. Yet, there are different rules for the operation of a right-handed pitcher than for a left-handed pitcher. You say, well, give me an example. Okay, it's simple. A right-handed pitcher wears the ball glove on his left hand. If a left-handed pitcher tries to wear the ball glove on his left hand, he can't pitch. See what I mean? So the left-handed pitcher wears the ball glove on his right hand and then throws with his left hand. So even though it's a minor difference, it is a major difference. Even though somebody might say, well, it's just semantics. No, tell the pitchers it's just semantics. And they will tell you, if I do not follow left-handed pitching rules, I cannot pitch left-handedly. Likewise, when it comes to tongues, to some people they may be minor differences, but they are major differences in the way that they operate and manifest. The church world generally has not understood this. And this is one of the reasons why there's been such confusion about the manifestation of tongues. And, for example, you can't pray in tongues anytime that you want. Well, I can pray in tongues anytime that I want, but there are other manifestations of tongues that I cannot operate in anytime that I want. Well, this misunderstanding has caused a lot of confusion and misuses of the gifts of the Spirit. The result has caused a lot of people to run away from the church. Think about it. We talked, you know, a little bit about this earlier, how that all the excesses, all the goofiness, all the flakiness in the area of Pentecostal churches or full gospel or spirit-filled or whatever your favorite term is, it's caused some people to run from it. And it's amazing. I mean, that just clues you in to how Satan has worked. Because, now think about this for a minute. Just think. In the churches that don't believe in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, you don't have that kind of flakiness going on. You don't have that kind of weird behavior going on. Would you like to know why? It's because Satan looks at these churches and he says, you guys don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You don't believe that they manifest. You don't believe in tongues. You don't believe in all of that. So I've done a pretty good job getting you buffaloed in your entire denomination. I've got 150,000 of you people fooled into believing that the gifts and so forth aren't for today. So I'll just leave you alone. You're already messed up, and I don't have to do anything else. But now you folks over here, you got by me. And you not only got born again, but you also accepted the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the endowment of power. Now I've got to do something in your midst that's going to cause people to not want to be a part of you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach some of you to come to special church services with paper bags and throw up in the bags and call it devils. How many of you know that stuff goes on? Only one person has heard of that in here? You're kidding. Oh my gosh, that goes on. Well, I'll just leave it at the fact it goes on. And you folks over here, I'm going to tell you that whenever you get emotional, it's the Holy Ghost, and you need to respond like you think the Holy Ghost is all over you and start doing wiggly chicken walking stuff all over the front of the church. Get your wigs to fall off and so forth. And then this, you see what I'm saying? This group over here, he's already got them buffaloed into ignoring the power. So he doesn't have to cause the manifestations of the weirdness. But this group over here, they've tapped into it. Now he's got to keep people away from it, so he's got to do something different over there. That's why you have that goofiness and the flakiness and the weird behavior going on in the spirit-filled churches, if you will. It's because it's a different tactic of the enemy to bring about confusion. That's why that happens that way. I mean, are the light bulbs going off? Are you starting to see this? Well, it's this confusion about the operation and manifestation of the diversities of tongues, which has caused some people to get weird and scare some people away from being in church. Now, there are four diversities of tongues. Listen right here. Tongues for personal edification. Tongues for interpretation. Tongues for deep intercessional groanings. Tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. Now, let's go through each of these. First off, tongues for personal edification. This is the one that we're focusing most on here in this course. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, turn over there. 1 Corinthians 14, now look at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. But the first half of that verse is what we want to focus on. How many of you know that praying and speaking are the same thing? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? If you pray, are you not speaking? Okay? He that speaketh or he that prayeth in tongues or an unknown tongue edifies himself. Now, this gift of praying in tongues is referred to by most as the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, personally, I have yet, and I'm not going to say it's never happened, but in my years of ministry, when I have prayed with people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they've been filled, the tongues, they've spoken in tongues, I have yet to experience anyone, the moment that they get filled with the Holy Spirit, call it, you know, their personal day of Pentecost, I have yet to experience anyone speaking in tongues for interpretation. It's been their prayer language. I have yet to experience anyone speaking in tongues as far as a sign to the unbeliever. Now, I'm not saying it's never happened anywhere. I'm just saying it's never happened in my ministry, and I've yet to encounter a preacher to share it happened in their ministry. So typically what happens is when people get filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it's the prayer language or this tongues for edification, personal edification. And this is the most common manifestation of tongues. You could call it your heavenly prayer language. It's a language that comes from God. It's not a language. I know that I've heard it said, taught, that speaking in tongues, and I'm not quoting, okay? I'm paraphrasing. Speaking in tongues, that language of tongues, is what everybody was speaking prior to the Tower of Babel when the languages were confused. You remember that story in the Bible? Everybody spoke the same language? Well, that is not true. You say, well, how do you know? Well, I'll show you. In verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. In other words, it's not a language originating with man. It's not a language that man has spoken. It's a language that comes straight from heaven. It's a language, we'll talk about this later, but it is a language that Satan cannot understand. A lot of people think Satan knows what you're saying when you're praying in tongues. Trust me, he doesn't. This is God's language, put it like that. In the early part of the 19th century, when people would get filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, they didn't know what to call it. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul talked about, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, they would call it angel speak. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but they would call it angel speak because they didn't know what else to call it. Well, it's a language that comes from God. Satan cannot understand it. That's why you could call it your heavenly prayer language. It is as supernatural as any gift because it originates from God. And this is the thing, boy, I really want to emphasize and encourage you in this. Some people, oh, I'd love to raise the dead. I'd love to cause the blind to see. I'd love to walk on water. Okay, yeah, well, who wouldn't, praise God? I mean, sure, I'd like to see those things manifest in my ministry too. But you've got to understand that when you pray in tongues, it's as powerful a miracle as raising the dead. Because instantly, you're praying in a language that only heaven understands. You're praying in a language that God has given to you. You're praying in a language that no human being on earth can tell you or teach you how to speak. You know, you can buy all these learn to speak Spanish tapes and all, learn to speak French. You cannot get learn to speak tongues tapes. It's not out there. There was a guy one time wanted me to do it. He says, well, could you record yourself praying in tongues so I can teach people how to? I said, no, it doesn't work that way. It's a gift from God. It's supernatural. It's a miracle. And this is so amazing because the moment God works this, think about this. Let me say it this way for emphasis. It's the only miracle that you can work by choice in your own life. Praying in tongues. Because it comes from God. You can't manufacture it yourself and you don't get it from man. It is supernatural. The gift of this prayer language is for our use to mature spiritually. It transfers divine secrets and mysteries from God to our spirit. What we just read here in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14:2, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. You say, well, what mysteries? Well, let me just simplify it this way. Whatever you don't know that God wants you to know. If you don't know, you ever heard somebody say, you know, talking about stuff and they say, it's a mystery to me, okay? Anything about who you are in Christ, who Christ is in you, your calling, your ministry, your future, anything relative to God's Word, whatever you don't know, whatever is a mystery to you, these are things that you're praying out. These are things that the Holy Spirit is helping you come to an understanding. It develops the character of God in us. You're edifying yourself into the place of conforming to the image of Christ. It enables us to understand and discern truth from tradition and falsehood. Man, I'm telling you right now, let me give you another foretaste of what's to come if you'll spend time praying in tongues, if you'll do this. You'll be praying in tongues, you'll be reading your Bible. And all of a sudden, and in like an entire chapter is going to be unlocked for you. And you're going to see that chapter the way you never have. You're going to understand how you have misunderstood that chapter. You're going to understand how popular preachers have mistaught a verse in that chapter. You're going to understand how that chapter ties into the previous chapter and leads into the following chapter. And you're also going to understand how that chapter ties in to something over in Matthew or something in Colossians. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you this is going to happen. Because Jesus said that one of the things the Holy Spirit would do is to teach us all things and to guide us into all truth. God's Word is truth. He's going to guide us into the fullness of understanding. Listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. If we didn't have the capacity to understand Scripture, it wouldn't be profitable. But we don't understand all Scripture. That's why the Holy Spirit helps us through praying in tongues to come to the understanding of Scripture so that we can separate tradition and the doctrines of man from the truth that God has established in His Word. Praying in tongues edifies us into the fullness of God's plan, calling, and perfect will. Praying in tongues empowers us to stand against temptation. Now, I'm not going to get into this in any great depth, but if you've got a sin problem in your life and you can't figure out why to stop, mentioned a little bit before, and you can't seem to figure out how to stop this thing, I'm telling you, you pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit is going to be able to help release an anointing on the inside of you that's going to help you to stop this. I wish I could quit. Listen, pray in tongues, man. Just start praying in tongues. It'll work. Well, I don't know. Hold on here. Let me show you in Scripture it will work. Don't just take my word for it. I'm just telling you it will work. Look, you know one of the problems in the body of Christ? Seriously? We take preachers. I don't care who. What, if you're an evangelist, an apostle, a pastor, doesn't matter. If you're a pulpit person, we take preachers and we put them up on a pedestal, do we not? And it's like we have this image that they're some kind of perfect creature. Can I let you in on a secret? I don't care who you are or what your background. I don't care how long you've been preaching. There was a time in your life when you struggled with at least one area of sin. Maybe it wasn't pornography. Maybe it was a hidden sin of unforgiveness. But you had to get past, no, you are supposed to get past that. Maybe you haven't, but you're supposed to. Myself, I've had sin areas in my life. Born again, serving God, but I've had areas of my life, it's like, man, you know that feeling, don't you? I can tell you right now, if you pray in tongues and you don't stop, you keep praying in the Spirit, there's going to come a time when you are going to be edified spiritually above whatever that problem is. I've taught this to people. It's like some folks, it's like, well, okay, what do I have to lose? And they start praying and they start praying. And then it's like over time, they come back and they say, man, it worked. I've quit this or I've stopped that. Or, you know, it's like, it's just like, and I didn't have to try that hard. It's like something just happened. It became easy all of a sudden. And it's, well, it's because you prayed in the Spirit and you let God, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, begin to edify you and release His anointing on the inside of you to empower you to grow and mature past that problem area. And now you don't struggle with that thing anymore. In fact, it can get to the point to where you'll look back over your life and sit there and scratch your head and think, how could I have ever struggled with that? I don't remember how I was weak in that area. And God says, don't worry about it. You don't need to remember. Just keep praying. Just keep growing. Just keep maturing. It builds us up to walk by faith. In Jude 20, it says, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the thing. It builds us up to walk by faith. Okay, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? Therefore, praying in tongues, as it's building us up to walk by faith, it's building us up to walk by God's Word. Now, keep this in mind about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, that prayer that you pray, when you pray in tongues, it always and without exception conforms to the Word and the will of God. In other words, think of it like this. If you're praying in tongues, let's say that as you pray in tongues, you know, you think you're praying about one thing, but the Holy Spirit knows you need to be praying about something else that's more important. Well, let's just say that as you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit knows you need to pray about a healing for your body. And as you're praying in tongues, He's going to be praying. I'm just using this as an example, not as a thus saith the Lord. But as you're praying in tongues, He's going to be praying in tongues in line with God sent His Word and healed you and delivered you from all your destructions. Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and by His stripes you were healed. That praying in tongues is going to be conformed to the Word and the will of God. He is not going to pray through you. As you're praying in tongues, He's not going to be praying through you, sow a seed for your healing. Sow a seed in the offering for your healing. He's not going to do that because that doesn't conform to the Word of God. See what I mean? So when you're praying in tongues, everything, all the prayer that is released as you pray in tongues, it is always going to be foundational relative to the Word of God. In other words, you'll never, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will never pray through you in a way that contradicts anything in Scripture. He'll never do it. And it will always be according to the will of the Father. Because of the function of this prayer language, we can operate it at will. In other words, you look at these 6 points up here that we listed in this. The transfer of divine secrets, the character of God, etc. and so forth. Because this is what praying in tongues produces, we can pray in tongues anytime that we want. We can operate this gift at will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, it lists the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And in verse 10, it talks about divers kinds of tongues. And that is a reference to these 4 basic diversities of tongues. Personal edification, interpretation, intercessional groanings, and assigned to the unbeliever. The first 8 gifts of the Spirit and 3 of the 4 diversities of tongues cannot be operated at random. You can't operate the word of wisdom whenever you feel like it. The word of knowledge, you can't operate that. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. That means you can't operate in it until He gives that gift to you. They operate as the Spirit wills. However, it was the Spirit's will, or the Spirit willed, that you receive the prayer language when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? So you could be edified. So you could walk in a greater level of anointing. So you could, you know, crucify the flesh. So you could, I mean, everything relative to what is produced by praying in tongues, it was His will. He says, listen, you can't do all these other things. You cannot produce any of my gifts whenever you feel like it. And three out of the four diversities of tongues, it is not up to you. It is up to me and me alone. But you have got to have this one right here. Otherwise, you're going to be relying on the wisdom of man. But I want you relying on the wisdom of God. So I am giving you, I am God the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to take a language that we have created up in heaven, and I am giving this language to you. It is my gift from God, me, to you. And here's what I want you to do. Use this gift all the time. Use it as much as you want to. Use it as often as you can. Use it when you're driving your car. Use this gift when you're taking your shower. Use this gift while you're doing your housework. If you can conveniently use this gift while you're on your job, use this gift while you're on your job, because you cannot waste 1 minute of praying in tongues. Every moment of praying in tongues that you give to me, I will be able to edify you. I will be able to release truth into you. I will be able to release a greater anointing. It is your choice. I'm giving this gift to you. You're free to use it any time that you do, and every time that you do, you will experience spiritual change. Later on, that spiritual change will manifest on the outside, but it starts in the realm of the Spirit before it manifests outwardly. It was the will of the Spirit to give this gift to you. This language is yours to pray with anytime you want. You say, well, what does that mean? I mean, what it means is that our spiritual growth and maturity is now totally up to us. You ever heard people say things like, well, when God wants me to change, He'll change me. God is saying, excuse me, I have given all the tools you need for change to you already. Now, you use those tools. That'd be like a guy getting hired to be a mechanic in a car shop. And they walk him over and say, now, you see this workstation? This is your workstation. You see that toolbox? It's got 58 drawers in it. Every one of those drawers has all the tools that you need. You see this analyzer, this computer analyzer right here, this is yours. Every mechanic has one of these analyzers. This is your analyzer. We've given you everything you need to work on these cars. Then a car comes in for work, and you just stand there. And the boss comes in and says, what are you doing? You're supposed to be working on this car. Well, boss, if you want me working on this car, then you're going to put those tools in my hand. And the boss says, excuse me, I already did. They're right over here. Go get those tools and work on this car. Well, now, boss, I don't want to be out of order here. I have to wait till I get an unction from you before I'll use these. And the boss says, I'll give you an unction right out the front door. Work on this car and fix it. The tools are yours to use. Likewise, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit and we receive that gift of praying in tongues, it is a gift He has given to us to use. Now listen, there aren't too many excuses for not changing into the image of Christ. Now, are there? Not when He has given this gift to us. And He's saying, okay, God, why did you do this? He says, well, very simple. I don't mean to insult you, but quite frankly, you're too dumb to figure this out on your own. You may be born again and have my life and my nature on the inside of you, but you do not know how to live that way, so I've got to help you. That's why I've given this gift to you, so that you can pray in tongues. And as you are praying in tongues, you are speaking forth my perfect will concerning your life, concerning what I want done in this world. So this language is ours to pray with any time we want. Let's talk about tongues for interpretation. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now that's just a verse to exemplify the concept of tongues for interpretation. Tongues for interpretation, I don't know about your church, but tongues for interpretation, it basically operates like this. Somebody will speak forth with tongues in the church service, and then someone will give the interpretation. You know, the tongues, and usually it starts out, you know, thus saith the Lord, you know, and sometimes people get all King Jamesy. You ever notice that? I willeth that thouest would doeth thiseth, you know. Well, typically, tongues for interpretation most often occurs during a gathering of believers. Now, it says most often, but quite frankly, I haven't heard of too many instances of tongues and interpretation when a person's all alone. Generally, that kind of interpretation is an interpretation of what you've just been praying. Okay. Typically, this will happen at a time of worship. And again, unless you've experienced this in your church, it's kind of hard. Well, it's not hard to explain, but you know, during a time of worship, I'm talking about the slower songs, the slower worship songs, not the real fast toe tappers. And there will be the tongues, then there'll be the interpretation. Sometimes this will happen during a sermon, but this is not as frequent, and here's why. The Holy Spirit will never do anything to disrupt the service. Now, I've been in services where people started speaking in tongues during a sermon, and it was out of order. It wasn't God. It can be of God. I'm not saying that it's never of God, but generally speaking, okay, let me give you another rule of thumb, but not doctrinal truth, okay? Generally speaking, tongues and interpretation during a sermon take place through the pastor or whoever's doing the preaching. But again, that's not always. But typically, that's the way it will happen. But the Holy Spirit will never do anything to disrupt the service. This manifestation, tongues for interpretation, is as the Spirit wills, not as we will. We cannot force the Holy Ghost for tongues for interpretation. You can't. How are you going to make the Holy Ghost do that? Bless God, Holy Ghost, you're going to do it because I said so. He said, excuse me, I am not going to do this. We cannot randomly speak in tongues for interpretation. People have tried. But you can't just do it. It's not your choice. Remember, it's a gift. If an interpretation does not come when somebody has spoken in tongues, do not force the interpretation. People have done that before. I know here at the church, there have been times people have spoken, there have been, you know, tongues, and I've given the interpretation, but there have been other times where tongues have been given, and as the tongues are being given, on the inside I'm talking to God. And I'm saying, okay, God, you know, I'll give this interpretation if you want, but I would like it if you would give the interpretation through someone else, just for their own personal benefit, and also to prove that it always doesn't have to be the pastor. Because many times people feel like the pastor, the way it comes across to me is that in many churches, the people feel like the pastor has to be the one to do all the interpretation. No, that's not true. Now, maybe he'll do most, but it's not true. The pastor has to be the one to interpret. And so as I've prayed that, you know, Father, let somebody... In fact, there have actually been times where I've prayed and I said, now, God, would you please give the interpretation of this to so-and-so? And I've actually named a person, and sure enough, man, they get the interpretation and give the interpretation. See, giving the interpretation is great, but it doesn't have to be me. I want other people to know they can be used by God as well. And I'm not threatened by that. See, you've got to understand something. The more people learn how to flow in the Spirit, the better off the church is going to go. So it doesn't have to be me all the time. My gosh, they hear me all the time preaching and teaching and so forth. Let somebody else be used of God. I don't mind that happens. But it's neat when it does happen. You know, God, would you let so-and-so have the interpretation? Boom, they give the interpretation. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. sometimes people speak in tongues out of emotions. You know, and I understand that. But you don't have to interpret it all the time. And likewise, a quiet moment in a service is not an automatic cue for tongues. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. At times, it's proper for there to be silence in the church to experience the presence of God, the cloud of His glory, if you will, whatever you want to call it. But some people feel like if it gets really quiet, there has to be tongues for interpretation. No, no, no. This is where praying in tongues helps you to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit for such things. And occasionally, God may give you an interpretation of your prayer language. As you're praying in tongues, He may give you an interpretation, but that is not going to be the norm. It won't happen all the time. Let's talk about tongues of deep intercessional groanings. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Emotionally praying with the understanding is not intercessional groanings in the Spirit. Remember, if you're praying with the understanding, you're not praying in tongues. Okay? I'm not saying don't pray in tongues, or pray with the understanding. You know, don't misunderstand that. I'm just saying praying with the understanding very emotionally is not praying in tongues. Our knowledge is limited, but the Holy Spirit's knowledge is unlimited. He's God. He knows everything, beginning from the end and everything in between. We cannot move ourselves into intercessional groanings or travail. I know a lot of people teach that you can. I know a lot of people force things out, and it's really not God. Intercessional groanings come from a place deep within our spirit, not our feelings. We submit our time to God for prayer. We begin by worshiping Jesus. We then pray with the understanding. From praying with the understanding, we move into praying in tongues. After a time of praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit may move on us for groanings. He will initiate it, and He will end it. This is not a set formula. What, steps 1 through 5? It isn't like this all the time. This is an example. But if you want to learn how to make yourself more available to the Holy Spirit for Him to move on you for the groanings in the Spirit, the travailing in the Spirit, this is a pattern, or these are steps that you can follow to learn to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit for Him to use you in this kind of prayer. The Holy Spirit is looking for willing vessels. People given to much prayer are more likely to be used in intercessional groanings. Now, some people seem to be used more by God in this than others. This whole thing of intercession, a lot of people, how can I say this nicely? They really get into this begging thing from God. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh you've got to, oh God, you got to. And they feel like the only way you're going to accomplish anything from God, through God, with God, whatever, is that approach in your prayer. And Jesus refutes that over here in Luke chapter 11. Turn over there. In Luke 11, verse 1, it came to pass as Jesus, as He was praying in a certain place, He seized one of His disciples, said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught His disciples. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, so in earth. Or Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his nagging, his incessant complaining, his banging on the door, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now let's look at this, because this passage has been taught that you need to keep asking. Bang on, you know, ring the prayer bells. You gotta grab a hold of the hem of the garment and all this kind of, hang in there, keep, oh God, please, please, gimme, oh God, move. And Jesus is saying, no, wait a minute, hold on, you don't understand how God works. The person behind that door is not God. Jesus is drawing a contrast. In verse 7, the only reason that that person gives him anything is because he's being bothered. Verses 7 and 8 is because you're bugging me. I don't want to do this for you. But you won't shut up and leave me alone. So, all right, fine. I'll wake the kids. I'll get out of bed and I'll give you what you're asking for so you'll get out of my face and leave me alone. Well, God, though, on the other hand, in Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, He tells us to come boldly before His throne of grace. He doesn't say you're going to bother me when you get here. He says, come here. Don't stay away from me. I want you here. The guy in verses 7 and 8, he didn't want his friend to be there. God wants us in His presence. Verses 5 and 6 represent somebody who is interceding on behalf of another person. Which of you has a friend who'll go unto him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. The friend, it's the visitor. Or the friend that is the host, he didn't have what was necessary to supply the need of his visiting friend. And the visiting friend didn't know how or who to approach to get the need met. So here comes this visiting friend. He doesn't have a clue what to do. So the host friend says, listen, I know you don't know what to do. You have no clue where to go, where to turn. You don't know. I know. I know where I can get your answer. So he runs next door and starts banging on the door. I need some bread for my friend has come to visit. The three loaves are symbolic. Physical needs, soulish needs, the mind, the will, the thoughts, the emotions, and spiritual needs. In other words, everything that you could possibly need for every area of life are represented here by these three loaves. And he's banging on the door and he says, help, I need, you know, my friend is here. And the guy says, shut up, go away, man, you're bugging me. He says, no, wait a minute, you don't understand. You have what my friend needs, and I need to help him. He says, my kids are asleep, I'm in bed, the lights are out, go away, you bother me. Bang, 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 I need some bread. He says, fine, I'll give you your stinking bread. Just get out of my face. And Jesus says, God's not like that. Here's how it is with God. You ask, you receive. You knock, He opens and welcomes you in. God is not like this guy behind the door who doesn't want the help. God is your ever-present help in a time of need. That's why you don't have to beg and beg and beg and begging is a sign of unbelief. And Jesus says, I'm trying to tell you something about your Father in heaven. He is not like people on earth who don't want to be bothered. God sent me to die for you so that you could approach Him and receive your every need met. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. How? By Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus says, I'm the door. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's not like the verses 7 and 8 person where you're banging on the door. Jesus says, I am the door and the door is already open. You see this? Praise the Lord. So this whole aspect of begging, the person interceding didn't have the personal capacity to meet the need or he would not be interceding. You see that? I don't have the personal capacity to meet your need, but I know who does. And as I begin to pray, I begin to ask, I begin to knock and so forth, like Jesus is speaking here. I'm the one, verse 13, who's doing the asking. The friend didn't know how or who to ask, but we have access to the one who answers prayers. We decided to stand in the gap for our friend, your loved ones, the ones who need Jesus, the ones who are sick and need a healing, the ones who need the jobs, the ones who need help. The Father directs the Holy Spirit then to move on us for intercession. We make ourselves available and He says, Holy Spirit, they're available, use them. They're in this place right now where you can begin to move through them in this intercession, in this travail, in these groanings in the Spirit, so that my perfect will can be brought about either their life, the other person's life, somebody across the world they don't even know, that I'll have the Holy Spirit intercede through them for that person over there, but my will can be accomplished. Can we do this? Yes. Tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse, 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. It's an empowerment to speak, preach, or teach in any language. It's a language you previously didn't know. In other words, I stand up, I start preaching, and I start speaking in tongues. But it comes out in Chinese. And somebody there understands what I'm saying. A person from China can understand what I'm saying. Because it may possibly, as I'm speaking, may possibly be understood only by one or two people present. You may never speak in that language again. You might not. Again, this is a gift of the Spirit assigned to the unbeliever. And obviously, this is something that cannot be done at will. It's only something that the Holy Spirit can produce. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine was on a tour of the Middle East many years ago. It was an extended tour, and part of this tour took them into Greece. And one day they were on some kind of a boat, went out on a lake. I don't know what lake, and I don't know, you know, how big this boat, but you know, the whole tour group and other people were on this boat. It was really early in the morning, And my friend was standing there at the railing of the boat, and he's looking at the sunset. He says, man, it was gorgeous. So he just began to pray in tongues. Just, and one of the people that actually worked on the boat, an employee, I don't know, you know, what his title was, but after a few minutes, he came up to my friend, and he says, I didn't know you could speak Greek. And my friend says, what? He said, I don't know you could speak Greek. He said, well, I can't speak Greek. He says, well, yes, you can. I just heard you. He said, what do you mean you just heard me? You were standing here looking out at the sunrise, and you were speaking in Greek. And my friend said, well, what did you hear me say? He said, well, you were talking about the glory and the majesty of God and how wonderful He is. And my friend thought all he was doing was praying in tongues. And this guy heard him testifying of Jesus Christ in Greek. Is that awesome? You can't do that any time that you want. This is a supernatural gift move of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. Every single one of us we are potential candidates to be used by the Holy Spirit in this. Now turn back, if you're in 1 Corinthians, turn back to chapter 12. This helps us understand verses 29 and 30. He's talking about these gifts and then or the ministry callings, and he says in 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Well, no, of course they're not. Not everybody's called to the same thing. He said, well, have all the gifts of healing? Well, no, we don't. We're not all used in that gift. In other words, verse 29 is talking about a ministry calling. Are all called to be pastors, apostles, prophets? No. Okay, well, what about this? Verse 30. Is everybody always used in the same gifts of the Holy Spirit all the time? Have all the gifts of healing? Well, no, we're not always used like that. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? This do all speak with tongues is not about the praying in tongues. It's about the gift of speaking in tongues for interpretation. And look over real quickly in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Look what Paul writes about this. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue. You see this? Hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, what he's saying is, look, you're speaking in tongues for interpretation, and it's not of God. And there's some of you giving interpretations that didn't come from God. Because not everybody is always used in every service for tongues and interpretation. Can you see what he's saying here in chapter 12, verses 29 and 30? Not everybody speaks in tongues for interpretation. However, everyone should be willing to speak in tongues for prayer, for that personal edification. Now, in the last 60 seconds, conspicuous by its absence in all of this is the concept of warring tongues. Anybody ever heard of that before? Warring tongues. You say, well, what are warring tongues? Okay, get it, grab hold real tight. Where they're screaming and yelling. No, I wasn't blaspheming. Don't worry. I'm not going to be stricken dead. It's where they're screaming and yelling in tongues because they believe they got to move into warring tongues to scare the devil. Give me a break. He doesn't know what you're saying. All he hears you yelling in tongues. But there is no such thing as warring tongues. Now, yeah, you can pray emphatically in tongues. Your emotions can move and you can, but trust me, when you're praying in the Spirit, if you want to scream and yell in tongues, fine, you're just going to wear yourself out. And eventually you'll drop back down to a normal voice or a whisper. When I pray in tongues, seriously, almost all of my praying in tongues is like this. So, Brother Martin, I didn't hear anything. Well, God did. And if you had been standing right here by me, you would have heard it. Because I don't need to wear myself out. I don't need to burn out my vocal cords. It has the same effect. Whether it's a whisper or a yell, if you're praying in tongues, you're edifying yourself spiritually. Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank You for Your Word. We want to thank You for the way You've ministered. Father, may these truths sink so deeply in us that we will allow them to produce the fruit that You desire. Father, may we apply these truths that we're hearing. May it go beyond just head knowledge and become spiritual lifestyle. May we embrace this concept of praying in tongues like never before. May we cast down the imaginations of man's traditions so that we can enter into the fullness of what You have for us. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you for ministering to us tonight and watching over us and giving us protection as we go home. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, once again, the maps to Faith Unlimited are up here if you'd like to get one of these. And then if anybody would like prayer for anything, I'll be more than happy to pray with you. You can come on up and we'll pray.